Senator Pogomiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and a sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
All in favor of the Pogomiller motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Our chaplain this morning is the Reverend Kevin McDonahue, our Senate chaplain, and a reminder to stay standing for the Pledge of Allegiance after the prayer.
Mr. President and Senators, we are in the time of Passover, observed in many different traditions. Let's take a moment and ask that the Passover promise of freedom might be extended to all the world, and that our citizens in Minnesota might know full participation in the life of their community. Let us pray. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, author of human freedom. Teach us to respect one another, bless the work of this body, that we might be one nation, free in liberty, in great dignity. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Good to see you.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogomiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomassoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
A quorum is present. We'll proceed to the third order of business, messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file as passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 335, a bill for an act relating to highways, designating the Speaker Irvin N. Anderson Memorial Highway. Senate file 335 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 335 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Senator Saxhog, on your motion to concur, tell us what the differences are.
Some explanation, Mr. President?
Senator Saxhog, that's correct. And members, the changes to the Senate file can be found in the House Journal, March 5th, page 654.
Mr. President, Senate File 335, as you'll remember, took a part of U.S. Highway 53 in northern Minnesota and dedicated it to former Speaker and decorated World War II Navy pilot Irv Anderson. The two changes that were made over in the House, one clarifies the part of Highway 53 that we are naming after Representative Anderson, and the second change added language that allows the state to remove the signs if non-state entities are no longer willing to pay for the maintenance of the signs. I appreciate your support, members.
Discussion on Senator Saxhog's motion. Hearing no discussion, Senator Saxhog has moved that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 335 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. And the
thank you, Mr. President, members.
The secretary will give Senate File 335 its third reading.
Senate File 335, a bill for an act relating to highways, modifying provision governing memorial signs erected on highways, designating the Speaker Irvin N. Anderson Memorial Highway.
Further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, the secretary will take the roll. All senators voting who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House file numbers 486, 819, and 878, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
We'll proceed to the fourth order of business, the first reading of House bills. They are listed in your agenda, and they are referred as indicated. First reading. Proceed now to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted with the exception of the reports pertaining to Joint Rule 2.03.
On Senator Pogamiller's motion, all those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails, and the reports are committee reports are adopted as indicated. Proceed now to the sixth order of business, the second reading of Senate bills. They are listed in our agenda. Second reading. Proceed now to the seventh order of business, the second reading of House bills. There is one bill. It's listed in the agenda. Second reading. We proceed now to the eighth order of business, the introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are referred as indicated. First reading of Senate bills. Proceed now to the ninth order of business, the motions and resolutions. Their author of motions, we will adopt them as one motion. The motions are as printed in the agenda. Okay. We have Senator Pappas. We have a withdrawal from committee.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Pappas, just as a point of general information, we're by the first bill hearing deadline, so from now on to withdraw a bill from committee requires 41 votes. So, Senator Pappas.
So I make the motion to move that Senate File 531 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary, given a second reading, and placed on general orders.
Senator Pappas has moved that the Senate file be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary, given a second reading and placed on general orders. Senator Pappas, on your motion, you give.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've consulted with Senator Moy, and she has decided that she doesn't need to hear this bill. It has to do with affidavit of candidacy, and she doesn't need to hear it in Judiciary, so we can go right to general orders.
Okay. Discussion on that motion? Hearing no discussion, Senator Pappas has moved that Senate file number 531 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary, given a second reading, and placed on general orders. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and the bill is moved to general orders. Secretary will give the bill its second reading.
Senate file 531.
Second reading. We have several resolutions on our agenda, Senate resolutions number 70 through 76. They will be referred to rules. And Senator Pogamiller, with that, we are down to general orders.
Mr. President, I move that under motions, the Senate take up the general orders calendar.
Resolved. Does he need the result? On that motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On Senator Pogamiller's motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and we are in general orders.
Mr. Chairman, I believe we'll process two bills that I don't think are controversial, number 8, Senate File 615, and number 42, Senate File 298. I would yield to Senator Prettner-Solin.
Senator Prettner-Solin, number 8 on general orders, Senate File 615.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 615 be recommended to pass.
Senator Prettner-Solin, on your motion.
Mr. Chair and members, this bill provides an exception to the hospital moratorium law to add 20 child and adolescent psychiatric beds, which will be located in western Hennepin County.
Is there a discussion on Senator Prettner-Solin's motion? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Prettner-Solin has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 615 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion, Senator Olson, Senator Jen Olson.
Mr. President and Senator Prettner-Solin, is there a specific location that is selected, or is that just a general area?
Senator Prettner-Solin.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, no, they're under discussion right now about where that will be located, but it will be up in close to Senator Lemmer's district.
Thank
Senator
you.
Senator Olson. Further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote on Senator Prettner-Solin's motion. All in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails, and the bill is recommended to pass. We'll proceed now to number 42 on general orders, Senate File 298, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 298 be recommended to pass.
Senator Anderson, on your motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is a consumer protection bill relating to cell phone usage. This bill went through the Judiciary Committee, the Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee. Did it go through another committee? I'm forgetting. Oh, and the Energy and Telecom Committee. How could I forget? That's where I knew it was three committees. Sorry, members. This bill came about because a constituent brought the concern to me of what happened when his son, who was on their cell phone plan, lost his phone and It turned out it got stolen, and there were over $1,000 worth of unauthorized charges to another country put on apparently by the thief. And there was a dispute with the company about who would have to pay for those charges. Turns out that this scenario has happened to some other people, and so that's why I introduced the bill. Through the course of going through these three committee hearings and having a lot of discussion with the committee members as well as with industry representatives, we have modified the language quite a bit from where we started. And I do believe that the language that I'm presenting to you today, as passed out of our last committee, is not opposed by any industry groups or by the wireless companies. So we have a consensus bill at this point, is my sincere belief and understanding. Essentially what it says is that if there are unauthorized charges made on your phone, a consumer is not liable for them. And it also states that if your phone is lost or stolen and you report it as such and agree to suspend your service, then there's a rebuttable presumption that that is not authorized use of your phone. In a different circumstance, whether it's authorized or not would have to be worked out with the company or not, or with the company and the consumer. And there is a definition of unauthorized use that basically says if it's a person other than the customer who does not have actual, implied, or apparent authority for the use. So as I said, members, I don't believe there's any opposition to this bill. It will help a lot of consumers with a problem that occurs with more frequency now that more and more of us have cell phones. This is supported by our State Attorney General's office, and I would be happy to take any questions and urge everyone to support the bill.
Is there discussion on Senate File 298? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will Senator Anderson yield, please?
She will yield.
Well, Senator Anderson, when it went through Energy Committee, there was quite a there was an agreement by everybody on this bill. So my question to you is about waiving the unauthorized charges, if that has been taken care of, and also, are we preempting something that's already being addressed by the Better Business Bureau and the Attorney General?
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Rosen, you're correct. The language is quite a bit different than it started out as in the first committee, which was the Energy and Telecom Committee. And we started out drafting this bill modeling after our credit card statute, which says that if your credit card is lost or stolen, your liability as a consumer is limited to $50. We took that language out completely in this new version and just changed it to a clear statement of liability for unauthorized use. And as I said, this has been worked out with the wireless companies, and I believe they do not oppose this bill in its current form. I can't say they support it. They're neutral on it, I guess, is probably the correct word. And there shouldn't be any kind of a preemption issue because this relates to a consumer liability issue. It doesn't have anything to do with rate regulation or any of those areas covered by federal law.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 298? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the author yield?
She will yield.
I haven't been able to hear this bill in any of the committees yet, and I'm just wondering, when you talk about unauthorized use, if a child, for example, uses another sibling's phone or a parent's phone and they had told them that they weren't supposed to, but they rack up a bunch of charges, text messaging or whatever, are they then not authorized to use it so that the parent is not responsible for paying the bill, or how does that work?
Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, we did discuss that issue some, and the bill doesn't specifically say what happens under that circumstance, but I believe that a parent is responsible for the financial obligations of their minor children. And so even if, you know, technically they're not authorized to use it, that's really a matter within the family. So my belief is that under this bill, that would have to be worked out within the family, and that if the parent were the contract holder for this cell phone, they would be responsible. But if it's someone who's not a minor child under their control living in their household, then who used the phone, then it would not be with authorization, and so that would be covered by this law.
Further discussion on Senate File 298. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, and if Senator Anderson would yield, maybe perhaps once more, I just brought the bill up, and with respect to, for instance, Senator Roebling's question, I don't see any reference in the bill itself, unless I'm missing it, relative to whether, you know, relative to family or anything like that. It doesn't distinguish, I don't think. It would seem perhaps Senator Roebling may be making a point here about indiscriminate use by another member of the family, and it's unauthorized in the eye of one, and so on and so forth. Could Senator Anderson maybe just readdress that a little bit? I don't see any mention of inter-family authorization or lack thereof in the language of the bill.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Senjum, I can't cite to any court cases or anything, but it's my understanding that as a parent, you are responsible for the financial obligations of your minor children that reside in your household. And so they would have your implied authority, I would say, under this bill, because you're in charge of them. As parents, you are responsible for them. And I don't believe the companies felt that this would create any kind of a problem.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, and perhaps Senator Anderson again, if, for instance, Senator Michelle used my phone in an unauthorized fashion and worked up a lot of text messages and overspent my minutes and all of that, where does the burden of proof lie? Do I just simply call my wireless and say that he abused my charges, he ran text messages up, and it's just simply my word, and that's good enough? Or is there room in there for the wireless company to negotiate or at least stand their ground with respect to their business and protecting their assets as well?
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize if there was a question. I did not hear it.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, Senator Anderson, I'll just boil it away. In terms of the claim of unauthorized use, is the fact that an individual may claim unauthorized use, is that sufficient to relieve that person of any charges on their cell phone?
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, no. And that is a very good question. And what we learned during the discussion in the committees is that essentially the companies decide whether use is authorized or unauthorized. And the only exception to that would be, as we specifically dictate in this bill, but they still would have that ability to determine it, and that's what they do now. If a phone is lost or stolen, they decide whether it's unauthorized. The problem occurred because in some cases the company determined that the charges were unauthorized but still required the consumer to pay for all or some of the charges, and that's what we're trying to prevent. But what the companies do is look at your previous cell phone use generally to decide whether the use is unauthorized, and if there's calls outside of the pattern that you've had in your contract, then the companies can conclude that it's unauthorized use. But that's generally been within their discretion to do.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And would Senator Anderson yield?
She will yield.
Just one question. You started out by saying a constituent came to you with this issue. I guess my question is, in dealing with the industry, how big of a problem is this? How many dollars are the companies in the state of Minnesota losing every year? Do you have any idea?
Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm aware of just a few examples in Minnesota where this has happened. And, of course, there could be more that we're not aware of, but I'm aware of a number of examples around the country where this has happened. And, of course, most wireless companies are national companies. So a number of the companies that we were dealing with here in Minnesota, their national company has dealt with these issues in other states. But I have never heard, none of the companies have suggested that they are losing money from this. So that wasn't brought up by them.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 298? Hearing no further discussion, Senator Anderson has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 298 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails and the bill will be recommended to pass. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee do now rise and report.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion that the committee do now rise and report, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller?
Any work at the desk, Mr. President?
Senator Pogemiller, we have no more work at the desk. Okay. Are there announcements of Senate interest? Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, tomorrow for the State Government Budget Division, we're going to be meeting in a different room. It's room 123. And we, for the members who are on that budget division, plan a meeting beyond our normal 2:45 finish time because we've got to finish our budget bill tomorrow. So we're going to be in a different room and probably a longer meeting tomorrow for the State Government Budget Division.
Are there Senator Pappas?
Thank you, Mr. President. The Higher Education Committee will meet immediately upon adjournment in our usual room 123.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will also meet immediately upon adjournment. We have a very full agenda, which will bump into the evening. So members, have your staff bring your lunch to the room, if you would, so we can get a quorum right away.
Without exception, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Scogin, Hahn, Metzen, and Tomassoni. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would move the Senate adjourn till Thursday, April 16th, 11 a.m.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that the Senate adjourn until Thursday, April 16th at 11 a.m. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails and the Senate is adjourned.